What is up and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always by my co-hosts, David Drogemeyer and John Kegley. We are three writers who got our start at San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, who have been covering the Chargers for four seasons now, doing our own Facebook live show, Chargers Domination Live. And this is our second season, now our third season with the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. All right, guys. Well, the Super Bowl has come and passed. And of course, the Chargers rival, the Kansas City Chiefs, come away with the win in the Super Bowl. So congratulations to the Chiefs. I know Charger fans did not want to see that for the most part. I saw some people rooting for the AFC, but I think for the most part, people were rooting for the 49ers. Rough game. I'm happy for Andy Reid, but we will get into that later on in the show, talking about the big plays from this game and some of the other storylines surrounding it. But we're going to start the show by talking about Anthony Lynn getting a multi-year contract extension from the Chargers and give our reactions on that news coming out of the weekend. And then we'll also do some fan voicemails as we do every Monday. We got three to get into today, including somebody calling me out. I'm looking at you, Barnaby. After a 5-11 season for the Chargers in 2019, many wondered if head coach Anthony Lynn would return the next season in 2020 to be the head coach of the Los Angeles Chargers. And now it looks like he's going to be here for a while. This is Daniel Wade, joined by David Drogemeyer with your Locked On Chargers lead story. Multiple sources have come out and said that Anthony Lynn has gotten a multi-year contract extension from Tom Telesco and the front office and organization, which comes as a surprise to many coming off of a 5-11 season where the Chargers drastically underachieved. And I understand why fans were mad today hearing this news. No one thinks that someone should get a contract extension after the season that the Chargers had. David, what was your first reaction when you saw the Chargers were electing to re-sign Anthony Lynn to a multi-year contract?
Yeah, I was a bit surprised, Daniel. I wasn't really expecting them to come out and show that kind of vote of confidence for Anthony Lynn after the type of season that the Chargers had. I mean, going 5-11, and obviously, you know, with great expectations going into the season, I mean, this team drastically underachieved and, you know, faltered in many ways. So the big thing about Anthony Lynn is, you know, you love his leadership. You know, you love his stoic nature. He's a man's man. He's a guy that he's easy to follow. He has a commanding presence. But my biggest issue was his coaching staff's lack of ability to make adjustments in the game and from week to week, and this false sense of confidence in players that were definitely not as great as he exclaimed. Two bad seasons, one good season. The jury is still out for me on Anthony Lynn.
Yeah, and I think that's why some people wish that the Chargers would have let Anthony Lynn finish out his original contract and then go from there. But when a head coach is going into the last year of his contract, that can cause some instability inside the organization when the coach does not know what his job security is. But at the same time, that's no reason for you to give it to someone just because you want to have them have that confidence. I mean, in my opinion, there's nothing wrong with having a coaching staff kind of coaching for their jobs. And now for Anthony Lynn, that's not the case. After a 5-11 season, he gets extended for multiple years. We don't know the exact details on it yet, but yes, one of the things I had the most problem with Anthony Lynn was the lack of adjustments by the coaching staff. It seems like this team continually came out into games flat. They came out of halftime flat. They got caught up from behind when they had leads in 2019. And players like Rayshon Jenkins saying that he's elite, talking about the tackles and saying how confident he was in those tackles, and they were two of the worst tackles, especially at right tackle, in the entire NFL. So those are the things that really bother me about Anthony Lynn and his coaching style. But then, David, you look at other organizations around the league, the ones that are successful. You see Mike Tomlin with the Steelers. He's been there forever. You see Bill Belichick with the Patriots. He's been there a long time. So I understand the fact that, hey, you don't always want this turnover. You don't want to keep having these guys have to change schemes and all of those things. You want to be a stable organization. So I understand it from that aspect. But at the same time, you still have to prove it.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be a little more comfortable if he had a little bit more success than he did. It's one good season and a couple of mediocre to bad. to be fair, you know, Anthony Lynn inherited, you know, a roster that was not his and a quarterback that was aging and probably not of the mold that he would prefer to play quarterback for his team. And so, you know, you could possibly read in between the lines here with this contract extension, you know, front office saying, hey, you know, we're going to give you your quarterback of your choice, and we're going to see if, you know, you're going to be able to cultivate his career and get wins with that type of quarterback that you want. It's going to be sink or swim, and we'll see how it goes.
It just seems like there's some complacency. We haven't seen any big overhaul at all with the coaching staff. It seems like they're content to bring back the same coaches that led you to a 5-11 record. And I think Phillip Rivers gets made the scapegoat in this situation, because it's like, that if we didn't have the injuries and Phillip Rivers wasn't throwing interceptions, this would still be a good team. Instead, what I see is a 12-4 team that got incredibly lucky in one score games, and a team in 2019 that regressed the mean. But at the same time, if you score as much as you should against these bad teams in games that you should win, and you end these other teams' games before they can start a comeback, you don't get all of these one-score games. You put your foot on their throat and you win by double digits. And that's just not something we've consistently seen with this coaching staff. But we do have two more segments to get into, talking about the Super Bowl before ending the show with our fan voicemails. But first, the football season is over, guys, but Blue Chew is still here. That's blue like the color blue. Blue Chew is the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor visits, no waiting in line at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. Right now, you guys can still get your Blue Chew for free when you go to BlueChew.com and enter the promo code LOCKEDON. All you have to do is pay $5 in shipping. The product is free. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON, all caps, one word, to try it for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. I also have to tell you guys about one of our best new sponsors, and if you guys want to get fit in 2020, you don't have to join a gym or pay a ton for overpriced fitness equipment. The best way to get in the best shape of your life is with Echelon. Go to echelonfit.com to discover their EX1 connected fitness bikes that offer a high-quality at-home cycling experience at less than half of the price of a Peloton. Echelon makes a beautifully engineered product for everyone, busy moms and dads, first responders, and elite athletes. Whatever your activity level, Echelon is for you. Join the hundreds of thousands of men and women who are getting fit with Echelon today, and you don't have to pay a ton for a Peloton. Buy an Echelon bike today for under $1,000. Go to echelonfit.com/LONFL to learn about their limited time free Apple iPad and complete details of this exclusive offer. Echelon, it's your time. That's echelonfit.com/LONFL. All caps, one word, echelonfit.com/LONFL. All right, guys. Well, it's time to get into that crazy game over the weekend. Super Bowl 54 between the Chiefs and the 49ers. The Chiefs end up pulling it out 31-20. And of course, for the Chiefs, it was exactly like every other game for them in the playoffs. They get into an early deficit. In this case, even a later deficit, they end up coming back and winning handily. What a game. I thought it was a really good game for most of it. It looked like the 49ers defense had figured something out against the Chiefs. It was 20-10 into the fourth quarter. And what a comeback by the Chiefs. I know we've said it before that no lead is safe against the Chiefs. I mean, if you're ahead by 10, you have to keep scoring. And the 49ers were just not able to do that. I mean, if you look at the numbers, most of the game, Jimmy G was playing pretty good. They ran the ball pretty effectively. But at the end of the day, it's the Chiefs taking home their first Super Bowl trophy in over 50 years. And John, Kyle Shanahan, after the 28-3 game in Atlanta, has another choke job at the end of a Super Bowl.
Yes, it is Kyle Shanahan choke 2.0. And I called this when I was messaging my friend who was actually at the Super Bowl. She's a 49ers fan. And right after they went up 20-10, I messaged her and I said, now we wait for the Kyle Shanahan choke 2.0. And she's like, no, don't say that. And sure enough, it happened. But it's just amazing. Kyle Shanahan's offenses go up with a decent lead and then they let off the gas. And in the end, both those teams lost. Now, Kyle Shanahan was the offensive coordinator for the Falcons, so people are going to say he wasn't the head coach, but it was still his offense, just like this 49ers team was his offense. So I got to figure out how to put the blame on him in this. But I want to give a shout out to Katie Sowers, who became the first female coach and openly gay coach to coach in a Super Bowl. And the ironic thing about this is she used to play in the WFA as a quarterback for the Kansas City Titans, and then she ends up losing her first Super Bowl appearance to the Kansas City Chiefs.
Only John Kegley would be able to provide a stat like that.
Part of the reason that we know each other, at least one of the common threads between us, was the Professional Women's Football League, the Surge in San Diego. John is probably their biggest fan as well, but it was pretty cool to see Sowers out there and to have the first woman and openly gay coach to be in the Super Bowl. I mean, really groundbreaking stuff. And I mean, with how that team is coached, she looks like she's doing a very good job as well. But David, it just goes with what we said. And no lead is safe against the Kansas City Chiefs. They can score in no time. And in this game, in about 5 minutes, they go from a 10-point deficit to an 11-point victory. And it's just one of those things that's incredibly frustrating for the other team, because you can have the perfect game plan the entire game and slow them down and slow them down. In this case, you intercept Patrick Mahomes twice and you still can't get it done.
Yeah, well, I mean, you said it. I mean, this team can score at will. And I mean, that you have to put them down. I mean, you can't give them any hope. You can't give them any possessions. Like, for me, I thought the game plan for the 49ers was to, you know, throw occasionally, but use that running game and melt that clock, keep that offense off the field. And, I mean, I think they did that somewhat. I mean, they mixed in some passes, but they kind of abandoned that game plan, or they just stopped being effective. The Chiefs, you know, got some stops on defense, and then the offense went to work. I mean, they scored 3 touchdowns to end the game. You cannot sleep on this Chiefs offense. They showed again and again throughout the season and throughout the playoffs and in the Super Bowl that they can score and come back from any deficit. They're dangerous, and that's why they're the Super Bowl champions.
And for the Chargers, and how this kind of ties in with the Chargers, John, is just the fact that you see how good this team was, and you see them kind of counteracting the saying that defense wins championships. I mean, their defense played much better, and they end up getting stops at the end of the game to get the ball back to their offense. But this is what the Chargers are going to contend with, you know, for what, the next 10, 12, 13 seasons, more than likely, as long as Patrick Mahomes is there, as long as Andy Reid is there. And I think this just sets the bar incredibly high inside the AFC West, because this is what you have to look up at now. Now we're looking at a juggernaut and what's looking like the start of potentially a dynasty if it's all kept together, at least as far as Patrick Mahomes being the best player, maybe the best quarterback in the entire NFL. And this is now what the Chargers are going to have to contend with for the foreseeable future.
It is something that you're going to have to contend with. But at the same time, how many of these weapons could the Chiefs be losing over those years? Is Patrick Mahomes pretty amazing? Yes. But how many times has he got bailed out from someone like a Tyreek Hill or a Travis Kelce? Sometimes those guys bail him out. Like in the Super Bowl, he wasn't getting anything done. He threw a couple of interceptions, but he got that big play to Tyreek Hill, and all of a sudden the momentum switches. If one of those guys leaves, is this offense still as explosive? Is Patrick Mahomes still going to be a great QB? Yes, but is it going to be the Super Bowl contending offense? Probably not. But either way, I think the Chiefs laid out a blueprint for Anthony Lynn, who is not a defensive first coach, on what you could do to make an offensive team win the Super Bowl. And the key to this, it looks like it's got to be speed. And if you get a quarterback that has enough speed to be around in the pocket and make a good throw, something like a Patrick Mahomes, who's not fast, but he can still get out of the pocket and extend the play, you can make your offense Super Bowl worthy. But you have to get those guys. You have to get that offensive line and those speed guys, and not just say, oh, we got this guy that bags groceries down at Albertsons and we have faith in him.
Yeah, and I thought for the most part, the Chiefs, especially going up against that defensive line towards the end of the game, they did a good enough job for Patrick Mahomes to move around in the pocket, pick up yards with his legs when he had to, and to make all the big-time throws, especially when they needed them at the end. And the Chiefs also ran the ball pretty effectively. I mean, Damian Williams goes 17 carries for 104 yards. As a team, they rushed for over 130. It was a pretty good rushing performance for them as well, and that was not something they were good at for the entire season. But for me, one of the other things I took away, David, is just you can't have too many weapons. I mean, we'll see who the Chiefs are going to be able to re-sign in the future. And I mean, Patrick Mahomes' giant, biggest ever contract is obviously going to eat up a lot of that salary cap space. And that's what usually ends these teams as far as them being able to keep all of these guys together and keep Super Bowl rosters together. I mean, they're going to have a tough time playing Chris Jones next year. And he was a huge part of this game. But I think for the Chargers, it's just, you can't have too many weapons. And I know a lot of people might have downplayed the fact that they didn't get any production out of their third wide receiver. And, you know, Austin Ekeler and Hunter Henry are there, and Mike Williams and Keenan Allen. But you just need all of those guys to be effective. And you just, you're going to, it's a basically an arms race right now in the AFC West.
Yeah, no question. I mean, and also I think a blueprint that they showed is, you know, hey, let's add all the pieces that we can around a young quarterback and try to and put money other elsewhere and try to, you know, get him good support and then, you know, try to go for it all when, you know, you can manage the salary cap instead of having, you know, big money going towards a quarterback. I mean, obviously, you know, like you mentioned, that time's going to end very soon and Patrick Mahomes is going to get a incredibly substantial amount of money and that's going to eat up most of that cap space. But before, you know, before that happens, I mean, they won a Super Bowl. I mean, so maybe that's a blueprint and the Chargers are in prime position to be able to do that. I mean, they can draft a young quarterback, add some offensive line pieces and, you know, maybe shore up the defense with some linebackers and then bam, I think they're definitely ready to compete in the AFC West. But I mean, it's going to be, you know, an uphill battle. I mean, the Chiefs are incredibly talented and Patrick Mahomes is still incredibly young, and that is very scary.
And by getting a young QB, you'll be able to save money and use it on things like the offensive line. But you need to get some of these weapons from the Chiefs that are going to be in free agency, like a Chris Jones. If you have the extra money that you won't, if you don't take, bring back Phillip Rivers, who will take a bunch of money and sign a first round QB who takes less money, you'll have extra money to spend on someone like a Chris Jones who can cement the defensive tackle spot of your defensive line. And now you'll have a decent defensive line for at least 1 year, depending on how the whole Joey Bosa, Melvin Ingram thing shakes out. But at least 1 year, you'll have it. And after that, that gives you time to use your draft picks on offensive line. And the next year, you can build up the defensive line. Because if Chris Jones signs a 3 year deal and Joey Bosa leaves, you can use a draft pick to replace Joey Bosa while you already have an offensive line in place for your new QB. All this would save money if you don't bring back Rivers. So it's starting to look like with the way the NFL is changing, it might be best not to bring back Rivers for cap space purposes, but for leadership purposes, if that's what you care about more, then Rivers needs to come back.
One, I think we've seen what this front office kind of puts their value on as far as leadership goes, bringing in a guy like Brandon Mebane, bringing in Thomas Davis. All of these moves were made, it seemed, more for leadership purposes than productivity on the field purposes. I know Thomas Davis has 112 tackles, but we're not getting into that right now. But I get exactly what you're saying, and that we've seen so many quarterbacks make it to the Super Bowl on their rookie contract, and it just seems that's the way teams are going right now. And we've seen it blow up after that goes out. I mean, we see it with Jared Goff now, that contract they had to give him after their trip to the Super Bowl and how bad he's been over the last couple or ever since the Super Bowl. So I think that it plays a big part in what the Chargers are going to do. And I think with the extension of Anthony Lynn, it doesn't make it seem like it's more likely for Phillip Rivers to come back. But the Kansas City Chiefs are Super Bowl champions for the first time in over 50 years. Just an incredible run from them. That was a really good team we just witnessed. Will they be able to bring these guys back? We'll see about that, and we'll see what this team looks like next year, because the NFL is a high turnover league, and it's really hard, unless you're the Patriots, for the most part, to keep things going this consistently. But if there's a coach that can do it, Andy Reid is a hell of a coach, and he did deserve a Super Bowl ring. But the Chargers now have their work cut out for them, because they're going to have two games against that team every season, and their trips to the playoffs most years are going to come through Kansas City. But we do have two more segments to get into. We do have another segment to get into, getting into our fan voicemails like we do every Monday, coming up right after this. But first, I need to tell you guys about our favorite car dealership. And of course, I'm talking about Metro Infinity. You can find them right off the 210 in Monrovia. You have to swing by their brand new multi-million dollar facility and check out the amazing selection of new and used cars. They're the only dealer in California that is family owned, and they've been in business for over 25 years. One of my favorite parts about Metro Infinity is you don't even have to go into the dealership if you don't want to. If you don't want to go in, they will bring the car and the paperwork to your home or office and complete the whole transaction there. They take pride in not being your typical car dealer where it takes hours to buy a car. They don't play games, and they want their customers to have a luxury car buying experience. Trust me, these guys get it. Metro Infinity is even willing to give you guys some free money if you want to go in there and mention that Locked On Chargers sent you over there. They will give you $500 off of any car purchase. We've already had one of our listeners do it and drive off in a brand new Infinity. And if you are thinking about an Infinity or in the market for any new car, please give them a chance to earn your business. You can reach them at 626-599-7510 or at metroinfinity.com. Go on in, guys, and you could lease a brand new Infiniti Q50 3.0 luxury loaded with navigation for only $1,000 down, and you can get that extra $500 off for telling them we sent you over there. All right, guys, well, it's time to get into the final segment of the day, getting into some fan voicemails. So we have three to get into today. If you guys want to get your voicemails on the show, make sure to call 323-524-7924, and we will go ahead and get that on there for you. But today we are starting with Donnie from Wisconsin. He's been one of our most consistent callers lately, so thank you, Donnie, for calling in again. We always appreciate it. Let's hear what Donnie from Wisconsin has to say.
Hey guys, this is Donnie from Wisconsin. I just wanted to talk a little quickly about the free agents that they got coming up for their own team, and just one concern I really got is them actually being able to re-sign Bosa. You know, they had the problem getting him to sign a contract when they drafted him, and now his brother's team's going to the Super Bowl. I'm really worried that he would maybe just jump ship and go to San Fran and sign there instead. I like Hunter Henry, obviously, you know, he's got some injuries, but I think that's a guy we should be able to get for sure. And Eckler, I'm just really, really worried about not being able to have Bosa re-sign with us. And I just want to say RIP to Kobe, bless his family. I am from Wisconsin, but he is the reason why I started watching basketball. So it was a sad day. All right, later.
Donnie, I do want to say that just like you, I mean, Kobe Bryant got me into basketball. And even though it's a week later now, even though it's been a little bit, it's still definitely heavy on our minds. And I appreciate you saying that because that's kind of the same way that it was for me. But I also appreciate your concern for getting Bosa re-signed. I am also worried about the Chargers and having them re-sign Joey Bosa. I mean, there's already been rumors out there that Joey Bosa could be looking to hold out until he gets his big time contract. There are rumors with him wanting to play for the 49ers with his brother, and they're just coming off of a Super Bowl run right now. And there's another guy in that game, Eric Armstead, that's about to get paid big time as well. But John, when you look at this, it's hard not to be a little afraid that Joey Bosa and the Chargers are going to come to a big time contract dispute again. If it's up to me, I'm re-signing him right away. But with the Chargers, it's hard not to worry about them and trying to get a big-name player like Joey Bosa re-signed.
I'm one of those that is also very worried about this situation. After the first contract situation with a rookie contract, which isn't that much money, but it was all about either you get the words or you get the money. It was just a big dispute on that. It took forever. It took all of training camp.
Over something so small, too. Like,
yeah, I can only imagine what it's going to be like when it comes to a lot of money with guaranteed money. And with even more words, that's going to come with something like an incentive or something like, hey, if I get 10 sacks, I get this much money. And then I can only imagine the Chargers would still screw him. Like if he does sign the contract, and he's at 9 sacks and it's week 17, they make him sit out. I can just see that already happening and then him not wanting to play ever again for us. So just with the contract alone, I'm already worried. And if you want to get a deal done, it has to be an extension. Because once he hits free agency, you are done. And I mean, the Chargers are done in this race.
Well, it almost encourages me that he might hold out this season and kind of put pressure on the front office to re-sign him, because at least that means he's willing to re-sign with the Chargers, right? I mean, that just means he's willing to get something down now so he can get paid this upcoming season, because right now he wants more money next year. I mean, that's really what he's fighting over. He doesn't want to go into this being a free agent at the end of it and potentially, you know, getting a season-ending knee injury or something like that. He wants his money next season. So for the Chargers, if he does decide to hold out, it's going to be a much different holdout than the Melvin Gordon situation. This guy is a much more impactful player, and he's also a guy that has more leverage than Melvin Gordon did as well, although not very much as far as getting paid. I mean, he would still lose money if he decides to hold out, but for me, the Chargers have to get this done. They have to get Hunter Henry brought back because he's a top 10 easily tight end in the NFL. And Austin Eckler, even though he's a restricted free agent, I agree with you, Donnie. They need to work that one out as well. But for me, even though he's not a free agent this season, I think that's the biggest thing on the Chargers' plate right now as far as big-time players that need to get re-signed, because I don't think he's going for anything less if he hits the open market than the biggest deal for a defensive end of all time, and he might get that regardless. But we have another voicemail to get into. This time is a first-time caller. It's Brandon from Massachusetts. Thanks for calling in, Brandon. He has a very short and sweet question.
Hi, guys. It's Brandon from Massachusetts. I've been a long-time Chargers fan. I was just thinking, I know it's unlikely both of these guys or either of these guys leave their team, but who would you rather have go to the Chargers, Drew Brees or Tom Brady? Thanks, guys.
All right, David, who are you going with, Tom Brady or Drew Brees?
Yeah, I'm sorry. The Charger fan in me will never really want me to ever see Tom Brady in a Chargers uniform. I just have, you know, a lot of hatred for that guy and what the Patriots have done to the Chargers over the years. So, and also Drew Brees has already worn, you know, a Chargers uniform in the past. So I'd like to see it, you know, I'd like to see him come back home and end his career with the Bolts. I mean, right where it started.
And I think sentimentally, that's the pick that I would have as well. I would definitely want Drew Brees over Tom Brady. I mean, even production-wise, Drew Brees missed some games this year. He still had 27 touchdowns and 4 interceptions last season. Obviously, it ends messy in the playoffs, which happens from time to time, and he looked old in the playoffs, but we're picking between two old guys. Tom Brady went 24 touchdowns and 8 interceptions in a 16-game season. Give me Brees. Bring it full circle. He comes back to the Chargers. If it's between those two, John, what would your answer be?
It would be neither. I would rather just have my running back run the Wildcat all season long. I refuse to have either one of them as my QB with Anthony Lynn as the head coach.
I knew you were going to say that, and I still went to you anyways. Love it. Yeah, for me, I don't think either of those guys are great options. I mean, you're trying to build something in Los Angeles, so you need to get someone that's going to excite people. And I know Tom Brady has a big name and championship pedigree. They both have championship pedigree. But unless it's like a one-year scab deal while you groom someone behind them, I don't want any part of that because I don't know if either of those guys could take this roster as it constitutes now, plus whatever they do this offseason, and take that to a Super Bowl. But that being said, talking about Super Bowls and someone bringing the Chargers to the Super Bowl, let's see what Barnaby from the 805 has to say.
What up, fellas? It's Barnaby from the 805. Got to call you out on something. I had left a voicemail, and it wasn't played. That's all right, but I'm just concerned because I took a shot at the Blue Chew commercials. Maybe that's a retaliation. I'm not sure. So I just want to clarify, Daniel, it's not you. I think you do a great job in those commercials. It's just the fact that I'm a ninja and I'm an expert in the bedroom. I don't need to hear those commercials on a day-to-day basis. You know what I'm saying? But, hey, man, you do a great job, really good intros, so props to you. But here's my question from that voicemail. If we go with Tyrod Taylor, do you guys think that he can take us to a Super Bowl? Could we win if we concentrate on the O-line? Let's fix our linebackers, defensive linemen. Let's do what we got to do to get that team right-sized. So what do you guys think if we roll with Tyrod? Can we make it happen? All right, go Bolts.
Well, Barnaby, I am not mad at you for calling out my Blue Chew ad reads. I didn't know that you were an expert in the bedroom, so my apologies there. But, you know, guys, we do ad reads to keep this show going. That's what it is. I mean, I would love to just come on here and just talk, you know, 30, 40 minutes of uninterrupted football talk with you, but they keep the lights on. So, unfortunately, so we're going to keep doing it. But I appreciate you calling in, and thank you for the compliment as well. Getting to the other part of you calling me out, though, I do remember you sending in a voicemail. You had sent a voicemail in right after that, and I believe I only played the most recent one and not the one you originally called with, so my apologies on that. So I'm glad that you called in to ask this question again about Tyrod Taylor and having him get the Chargers to the Super Bowl. So I know where I stand on it. John Kegley, do you think Tyrod Taylor could take this roster to the Super Bowl?
This roster? No, absolutely not. There is no way Tyrod is even going to survive the season with this roster. But with free agency and the draft, if the Chargers decide to go with Tyrod and they somehow build a decent offensive line and get another receiving weapon, re-sign Hunter Henry and Austin Eckler, I think you have a chance of at least making the playoffs. And then depending on how the coaching does with it, making their adjustments, you could maybe get to the Super Bowl. But this roster, there's no way. You're lucky to even get 5 wins next year if this roster and Tyrod are a combo.
I mean, let's be honest. The answer is yes. Tyrod could bring this team to the Super Bowl if everything broke the right way. I mean, Trent Dilfer made it to a Super Bowl. Joe Flacco a dead corpse Peyton Manning made it to the Super Bowl and had 9 touchdowns, 17 interception season. Brad Johnson, where the MVP of that Super Bowl in San Diego was a defensive player. So, I mean, there are exceptions to the rule. And I think that Tyrod Taylor, for the most part, is actually better than the guys that we previously talked about, or at least better than what they were those seasons. Tyrod Taylor led the Buffalo Bills to the playoffs, which is something that can't be overlooked. I think, David, it's just a ceiling situation. I just think that Tyrod Taylor has a pretty low ceiling. I think he can be better than a game manager, and I think that he can limit the turnovers to keep you in a lot of games. But not that I was super confident in Phil Rivers this year when the team is down by 7 and you have to go get yourself a score like the 49ers found themselves in on Sunday against the Chiefs. You have one drive to go potentially win the game and keep the ball out of the Chiefs' hands. I don't have a lot of confidence that Tyrod Taylor is the guy that's going to get that done.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's just a bit too conservative when he's out there playing. I love his escapability. I love his ability to extend plays with his legs. He's pretty accurate on the run, but he makes a lot of safe throws. I mean, and sometimes you got to take chances if you want to, you know, win football games. And I'm not there with Tyrod Taylor. I like Tyrod Taylor as a quarterback, and he's definitely one of the better backup quarterbacks the Chargers have had. But right now, as the roster is constructed, I do not want to see Tyrod Taylor, for his safety, be the quarterback of the Chargers next year. They definitely need to add pieces to the offensive line, add another weapon, like John said, a speedy guy who can really stretch the field that's actually reliable, unlike Travis Benjamin. But yeah, I mean, there's got to be some changes that need to be made. And for me, I don't think it's Tyrod Taylor that needs to be the quarterback next year.
Yeah,
well, I'd also like to mention that if he is the QB, it's not going to be a pass-first offense. I think the whole Phillip Rivers throwing 30 to 40 times a game was because it was Phillip Rivers who can't run. If it's anybody else than Phillip Rivers, this is going to probably be a run-first type of offense that involves like the read option offense, which means Tyrod is going to be doing more with his legs than he is with his arm, which I think is big for him. Because if this becomes a pass-first offense, then Tyrod is not the answer no matter what you do in the offseason. But with Anthony Lynn's mindset, this has to be the read option offense he's going to be wanting to plan. And Tyrod can fit that if you have offensive line and weapons.
Yeah, I just don't think that the answer to beating a team like the Chiefs and coming up in this division, which I believe is up and coming, I don't think you roll out Tyrod Taylor and say this is the answer. I mean, if you're not sold on the rookie quarterback you draft or something like that and you need him to scab over for a year, I think that's okay. But I don't think the Chargers can win a Super Bowl with Tyrod Taylor unless they had a historically good rushing game and a really, really good defense as well. But that is going to wrap things up for today's show. Thank you guys for coming back and listening. It is officially the offseason, and we'll still be back with you guys multiple times a week. And next week, we're going to be having a big-time crossover event with all of the other teams in the AFC West. So stay tuned for that. But until then, make sure you follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page, Locked On Chargers, as well as subscribing wherever you get your podcast from. You can find the Locked On Chargers podcast there. If you guys want to call in and be the next voicemail show for Friday's show, make sure to call 323-524-7924. Almost every Chargers voicemail gets on the show. Sorry, Barnaby. But until next time, guys, take it easy and go Bolts.